BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Thursday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. Finally, after 2 weeks, the girl who went on a date to the castle gets in touch with us. Deb's on Real or No Real. We have news on Game of Thrones and Ed Sheeran, and also what series Chris would like to be in. And Marcus Butler and Casper Lee, off of the internet, take up the Innuendo Bingo Challenge. Oh, all right, Chris.
All right, Scott.
Yeah, there's like explosions going on in my nose right now that I'm not happy about.
What's up?
Do I sound really like? Do I sound bunged up?
No, you don't. I mean, you're pulling a weird face. Just something's wrong.
It's my allergies.
Is it your allergies?
Yeah, my allergies are flaring up.
I didn't know you had allergies.
I didn't either, but I think... Is hay fever on for a lot of people today? Is everyone else getting this?
Do you think you need a case of Man Up Mills?
Maybe a little bit Man Up Mills, but, I'll struggle on. We've got a lot to do today, including a potentially epic innuendo bingo with two of our fave YouTubers, Marcus Butler and Casper Lee. And they're going to be on at 1:45. I think they've just arrived, actually, at the Radio 1 building because there are some fans outside. I've just seen tweets from Casper and from Marcus with the fans having pictures taken outside.
I see this being a good one. They've played this game before, I think, on their own channel, so I think this could be... I think this is good. I think this is doing it at the home of Innuendo Bingo. I think this is going to be a momentous occasion.
Exactly. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, I wrote an open letter to every single YouTuber who has played Innuendo Bingo before on their own site. And obviously the popularity of the game has reached epic levels, like so much more than I thought it would be when we started it in 2007. So I just wanted to kind of remind all the YouTubers where it all began. And I issued an invitation to some of them. And thank you very much to Casper and Marcus for accepting the invitation to come to the original home of Innuendo Bingo.
This is a cracking start and also a three-way. Awesome.
I know. Let's get wet at 1:45. Get to a screen that can show the Radio 1 website, either your phone, your computer or your tablet. If you can't watch it live, there obviously will be a YouTube video for all those people asking who are probably studying or at school and can't watch it live.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Apparently my breathing is really putting off Chris today, generally putting off things.
It kind of ruined that song for me. The noises that you make, especially when your headphones are on, your breathing is...
It's my hay fever. I sound like what?
Sound like a perv. Doing that kind of that breathing.
I do apologise. That was 10 Walls and Walking with Elephants, and this is Scott Mills on BBC Radio 1, gearing up for a potentially incredible Innuendo Bingo today with Marcus Butler and Casper Lee, and that's going to be at 1:45. Yesterday on the show, I wanted to see how people react when you fall asleep next to them and they can't escape. So let's say you are, I don't know, at a restaurant or something, maybe like a canteen, for instance, and the person is kind of next to the wall, and then the other person that falls asleep is next to them. Like on a plane, where you're in the window seat and you have to climb over the person that's just fallen asleep on your shoulder. It's really awkward.
It's really awkward because you don't know what to do. You don't know whether you should wake that person up to get past them or, I mean, we've had people on before who've said that they just climb over the sleeping person so as not to disturb them.
If you're in an aisle seat, it's easy to just get up and leave. But if you're trapped in there, what do you do? Do you climb over them? Do you just tap them on the shoulder and try and wake them up? This has happened to me a few times on trains and planes. So I thought we'd do a little experiment yesterday, and it's now hit the Radio 1 YouTube channel. This, I think... No, actually, I know, is my favourite video that we have done for flipping ages. Because Chris completely faceplants a plate of beans, and I like it that we have to blur out their faces.
Yeah. I mean, the video's up right now on the Radio 1 Twitter and the Radio 1 Facebook if you want to go have a look. But, yeah, so basically you're on the phone to me and you tell me to put my face in some beans and we kind of trap someone in against the wall to then see what will happen. You know, what will they do? Will they try wake me up? Will they climb over me?
It went a bit wrong yesterday. And Chris, as you may have heard, had to escape to the loo because it was so awkward.
It's one of the most awkward things I've done.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you watch one video on YouTube today, watch this one. It deserves a lot of love, this video, because Chris your face is in the beans for such a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think you believed how long my face was in the beans, because obviously you weren't there at the time. We had someone else filming it, and the video's now there for you to see.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I was just talking to you on the phone in the studio, so I didn't see you at the time, but your face is in the beans for a very long time.
Yes,
and I like it that you just kind of, like, it's the way you fall into them, like, straight down.
There's this horrible moment, this guy appears as well, and sort of taps me on the shoulder. But yeah, it's on, so Radio 1 Facebook and Radio 1 Twitter if you want to see the video.
I'll just watch it again, it's brilliant.
It's horrendous.
You will find a link on Twitter and Facebook and just see, let's count how many seconds, in fact, your face are in those beans, because it feels like a long time.
Mm.
Go watch the video now from yesterday's show.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
It's Marcus Butler and Casper Lee. Good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. Good to see you. If you don't know who they are, I don't know where you've been. Marcus and Casper are off of the internet, and between them have hit over 500 million views on their YouTube channels.
That's pretty insane to hear that. I didn't realise that.
That's a quarter of Gunham style.
It's quite scary. 500 million views. So, Chris, we're ready for a bit of Inuendo Bingo action today.
Mm, definitely. Do you compare everything to Gangnam Style? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
That's the benchmark. Yeah. That's what we're going for.
That's why I'm wearing these clothes right now. I feel like they're quite Gunham style-y.
They are quite Psy, actually. Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Do you describe what you're wearing for us today, Casper?
I'm wearing my Red Wears Wally trousers, and then just a shirt with a red patch because it's red as well.
Yeah. And we are going to stream all this in a minute on the Radio 1 website. So if you get to bbc.co.uk/Radio 1, obviously you guys have played Inuendo Bingo before, so welcome to the original home of it.
Is that aimed at Joe?
We wrote an open letter to all of them, and you guys accepted the invitation.
All of them. Do you know what's good about Joe?
All
to,
of them.
To be fair to Joe, whenever he plays Inuendo Bingo, he does put it up on the video itself.
Yeah.
He'll put credit to Scott Mills for creating Inuendo Bingo. So actually, it's all good.
No, it's all good with Joe. We've actually got some of the excuses from...
Let's hear them. Okay, I'd love to hear them.
Okay, right, here we go. So, Ella, can't make that date, but thank you for thinking of her. Please keep her in mind for the future. Alfie is also unable to make it as well.
Aww. But wait, you could have just gone to Madame Tussauds.
I know. But their waxworks aren't there yet, are they?
No.
That's very
true.
Okay.
Are you going to get them?
Probably not.
I'm just going to go and stand there still. At least we can hang out with them in London, though, right?
That's true. That is very true. We can spend a bit more time with them in London.
Do you find that you're now heavily hinting to try get a waxwork? Like, that's what I would do. There's nothing here, it feels.
Yeah, but I feel like they've done it. So if any other YouTuber now does it, it's kind of like, oh, that's cool, but there's already YouTubers there.
Right. Right. Okay, Joe Suck. Unfortunately, Joe's unable to attend. He's currently in LA, but he would love to be involved in the future. So that's good. They're all on board.
Yes.
Dan and Phil. The boys are abroad on holiday, so they won't be able to take part in this. Sorry about that. Hope it goes well.
That doesn't sound like that.
They're in Japan.
That sounds like someone talking for them.
They're in Japan, yeah.
Someone is talking for them, I think.
Oh, right, I see. Okay.
Yeah. It's probably their agent.
Could have just text him.
That's true. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, well.
Right, so if you go online right now, we're going to play Tuvalu talking body, and then Marcus and Casper are about to get very wet on Inuendo Bingo. If that sounds like your kind of thing, head to the Radio 1 website now on your computer, phone, laptop, tablet.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
It's Scott Mills here, and we are about to play Inuendo Bingo with Casper Lee and Marcus Butler. Get online if you want to watch bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. This might break the internet, but it won't. You can't.
It's time to witness the wetness. This is Inuendo Bingo.
I think the music is supposed to scare you, so don't look so terrified.
I'm already really, really terrified.
Are
I'm wearing
you?
White. Why did I choose a white top?
Should have gone with the Gunham style gear.
If you want to watch this, go to the Radio 1 website right now. And we'll get it up on YouTube if you can't watch at the moment. Nicole in Stirling's watching. And Sophie in Oxford. And Wayne from Reading. And Georgia.
Here we go, lads.
Who isn't playing PE today, so she's come home to watch Casper and Marcus instead.
Aww, thank you.
Okay, so, you know the game. Please don't swear, the water is cold.
What is the aim of the bucket?
The bin is well, it's more ceremonial
just
now.
Just for show,
so
really.
It just stays there. It's when been there from the start.
When we started it, it was like, yeah, put a bucket there and that's where the water goes, but it doesn't.
Never happens.
So just normally in each other's faces. So, let's begin. Inyota Bingo with Marcus Butler and Casper Lee.
Are you okay? You look slightly confused. You look very vulnerable.
I get really nervous about these types of things.
Okay. I think once you're in the flow of it, I think it's fine. It's just the first one, isn't it? Let's get it out of the way.
Okay. Let's make it a wet one, lads. Yeah. Come on, let's get involved.
Come on, it's Thursday. It's near the weekend. We start on Channel 5 and an episode of Neighbours from last week, where Alice and Bailey have been spending a lot of time together recently. I wonder if he enjoyed this little surprise from her.
Guess who?
Alice.
The back door was open. I thought I'd slip in and surprise you.
Okay. Everyone fine? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Alice.
The back door was open. I thought I'd slip in and surprise you.
Thank you, Gemma, for that one. Mm-hmm. Now let's treat Casper and Marcus to an Innuendo Bingo classic now. And it's from Davina McCall, off of The Jump. A show which had an unusual method for deciding which contestants jumped together, involving the Lord Mayor, of all people.
They're going to be going head-to-head against the person whose number is drawn with theirs. So, will you please take the Mayor's ball bag?
Oh, wow. And we're off.
And we're off.
There it is.
Oh, dear.
Again, when you do well, you're the one who gets wet.
Yeah, well, kind of. That's true. That's a slight flaw in the game.
Will you please take the Mayor's ball bag?
Thanks, Davina.
I think it's a game where everyone's a winner and everyone's a loser.
Your voice makes me laugh more than the clues.
Really?
It's so British.
Why did you go for the bucket?
Huh?
You should have just gone for him.
Sorry. All right, come on in.
Okay, so, next, on Inyota Bingo, we've still got clips from the weekend sport. Here is one from the Formula One on Sunday from Eddie Jordan on 5 Live. Now here, Eddie uses his inside knowledge of the F1 to tell us what kind of things Jenson Button has to put up with from his fellow drivers.
Jenson Button really holding his nerve there. I wouldn't like to have Pastor Maldonado coming down behind me, especially today. He might come to the left, he might come to the right, he might come over the top of you. You don't know which.
Right there, Marcus?
No, I'm just soaking myself rather than anything.
I know. That's it. Sorry. And now the microphone's fallen down. It's all gone wrong.
They've broken the studio.
Broken
Scott,
the studio.
Next up, the internet.
I'm so bad at this game. Sorry, we're not used to expensive gear.
No worries.
It's all fine.
I think we might have to call in assistant.
I'm really sorry.
Let me say it. It's fine.
Hello.
It happens. Hello. With force, sometimes.
Right. If needs be, you might just hold it and get a bit wet.
Thank you. Thank you, Jamie, for emailing that last Eddie Jordan one to me. Remember, any clips that you've got, email scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Casper, are you okay?
Marcus looks like a sweaty piglet. Look at
you,
my nipple.
Sweaty piglet. Yeah, white wasn't the best idea, Marcus. Okay. So, let's continue. Innuendo Bingo.
It might come over the top of you. You don't know which.
You don't know. No hands, please. If the water's coming out, it's coming out on Chris's face. It was a great weekend of sport. Our favourite clip from Tuesday came from the boat race. Now, this was a problem, really, for our film critic Rihanna, so much so that this game had to be abandoned on Tuesday. As the boats come round the second bend, this female commentator seems to know the Oxford team rather well, and she does very well to keep speaking with this distracting her.
The wind and the tide working in opposition.
I don't know if you can hear it at home, but I've got the Oxford Cox in my ear.
Yep. Even if Casper's not getting the clips, he's just getting Marcus wet now. And a bit of Chris as well. Chris, you need to teach them how to do proper projectile, because Marcus, I think, is getting there with every clip.
Yes.
That was our favourite clip from Tuesday from the boat race.
I don't know if you can hear it at home, but I've got the Oxford Cox in my ear.
Terrible. Now, we're going back to the F1 in a minute.
I'm
going to
get you, Marcus.
But first we go to food scientist Chris Tulleken on BBC Two, who seems absolutely thrilled with what they're letting him do on television. And who wouldn't be when this is involved?
So I've come to meet Haringey Women's Football Team.
This is a great honour, coming in the girls' changing room.
And there was the one where it finally...
I finally get this game.
You finally got it.
I finally understand it.
I love it.
It's so much more fun.
Ben is watching in London. Lorna's watching. Claire from Coventry has just finished school. She's got a free, so she's listening and watching. And Elliot in Birmingham is window cleaning while listening to Innuendo Bingo. Thanks very much to Chris there on BBC Two.
This is a great honour, coming in the girls' changing room.
Now we're going over to Dev, just yesterday on BBC Radio 1. Now he's covering for Greg James at the moment, which means he gets to meet some of the Radio 1 listeners on a Friday afternoon during Feet Up Friday. And as you can hear, it's an opportunity that Dev really makes the most of.
If you fancy coming into Radio 1 this Friday and being part of the Feet Up Friday audience, bbc.co.uk/radio1. Head over to Greg James's page and hopefully I'll be hanging out with you on Friday.
He didn't. I didn't hear the joke.
I didn't hear anything. I just worry.
It's fine. It's absolutely fine.
British humour again.
I know. Dev there on Radio 1 with an interesting invitation to everyone on Feet Up Friday.
And hopefully I'll be hanging out with you on Friday.
I think hanging out with you, he meant.
Oh! Yeah.
Thanks, Colin, for that one.
Thank you.
Now we're going back to this weekend's Grand Prix. Water, please. And on 5 Live, the pit reporter has privileged access to the Formula One teams and gets to see them doing things that they would never do in public.
James Vowles is the man that calls all the strategy ideas. He's got a whole team behind him and he makes up the mind about what the team are going to do alongside Paddy Lowe, the technical boss. And they are in a mass debate at the moment.
Oh, that was a bad one.
Oh, wow, that's another good one. Thank you, Robin Eastley. Yes, Eastley, for that clip.
Technical boss. And they are in a mass debate at the moment.
All on the Formula One. I missed that. Now we're going over to the brand new series of MasterChef with Marcus Butler and Casper Lee on Radio 1's Innuendo Bingo. Here's John Terode giving some very frank feedback to one of the contestants on their performance. Get your water in your mouths.
It's delicate, it's sweet, it's salty. What I really love is the sticky surface of your legs.
A bit weird.
Really weird. Thanks, John Terode. I don't really understand it.
What I really love is the sticky surface of your legs.
Sure. Thanks, Simon and Ashford, for that one. And finally, this is a very long clip from Radio 4, so you might have to reload. Now, they're reporting on a traditional rural competition that used to happen 100 years ago. It happened on farms, and it involved the livestock.
Cock throwing, where somebody tethers their cock to the ground, and the people taking part are given batons. And their role is to try and throw the baton at the cock, and to knock the cock and to stun him so that he can't get up. And then you run up and try and get the cock in your own hands before he's kind of got back onto his feet. And if you do that, you win the cock.
Okay, right, this has gone wrong now. It's gone wrong. Wow. Is everyone okay over there?
No, I think
oh,
so.
Oh, Marcus, look at you.
I don't feel very well.
Oh, Casper?
I think we've broken the YouTubers.
We have. That was today's Innuendo Bingo with Marcus Butler and Casper Lee.
Get the cock in your own hands before he's kind of got back onto his feet.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. That was chaos. Loved it, though. Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Thank you.
The Scott Mills Daily. A couple of people, including Grace and Sophie, asking where the Face in Beans video is. Radio 1 Facebook and Radio 1 Twitter. At BBCR1 on Twitter, or just put Radio 1 into Facebook and you'll find Chris being forcibly removed from a plate of beans. Something I was going to say to you, Chris.
Yeah?
I caught up on your E4 Virtually Famous show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I know that Dappy was on the first one.
He was, yeah.
How come neither you or Sean Walsh mentioned at any stage the pure ridiculousness of his face?
Yeah, what was going on with his tan? Like, it looked, at the time when I was there, he looked tan. I'm used to being around tanned people.
Yeah, hello.
Like yourself.
Yeah.
But on TV, it does look another level, doesn't it?
It was so orange. But, normally, especially Sean Walsh would be the first to point that out.
Mm.
But it was like the elephant in the room, Alexander Burke. where, like, hey! That was a good song, wasn't it? Like, how come you didn't say anything?
I don't know.
Nick in Norfolk just reminded me. I was watching and I was a little concerned by the colour of Dappy's face. What has happened? How did you manage not to say anything? Or does the colour of my TV need adjusting? Oh, maybe it's the contrast. Oh.
Can you have a word?
Seriously, well, if you get him back on.
You've got his number, haven't you?
Well, actually, I'm going to text
him. Well, what are you going to say? What was going on with your face?
Yeah, actually, I think... No, I saw a tweet from him yesterday, him going, I've now sacked the tanning person. So it's already been dealt with, I think. Otherwise, I would have stepped in, because I know a lot of people high up in the tanning world.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Christopher Hemel Hempstead says, did you see the Wombats when they came in earlier, and did you get Murph's name right? Oh, yeah, there was that time I called him Marv.
That's right, yeah.
Get in the car, Marv.
Why was that? Didn't you go to something one evening and then you all bundled into a car and...
I believe it was the Brits and I was sharing a car with Murph, but for some reason, after just maybe a couple of glasses of wine, I thought his name was Marv. So I'm like... And he was like talking to someone. I'm like, come on, we've got to go. Get in the car, Marv. And every time I see him, he reminds me of get in the car, Marv.
I bumped into the Wombats earlier in the toilet.
And that's always nice.
They were doing that thing where, and it happens a lot on Live Lounge days, where they sort of want to keep their voice warm, but they need to go to the toilet. So they sing all the way to the toilet. I've seen this happen a few times because the office, you've got to basically go through the office to go to the toilets, and I'll be sitting there. And yeah, the Wombats are in there singing away in the toilet.
What were they singing? Their own songs?
Great. Well, I think that should be the alternative Live Lounge. Do you know what I mean? You've got your Live Lounge, you've got your something toilet, your Live Lose.
Write this down.
Right.
This is great.
This is a good idea.
That they're warm up to the Live Lounge we could have.
In the toilet. Yeah.
Like either people like humming their own songs or somebody else's. They could do a cover if they want. Or whistling. Whistling's off now, isn't it? No, only dads do that now, right? Especially in the loo. I can't even do it. But yeah, good to hear the Wombats today. And they did an amazing cover of Carly Rae Jepsen's I Really Like You. Videos up later.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Dr. Kutcher, Can't Stop Playing, Makes Me High on BBC Radio 1. Coming up, Clean Bandit. And also lovely Lucy Rose, who gets so excited when she hears a song on Radio 1. Still haven't sent any of that tea, Lucy Rose. She's got her own brand of tea. Sells it at gigs.
Does she actually?
Yeah.
I vaguely remember this, but then I can't remember if this is a real or no real thing.
Nope, definitely got her own tea. And I fancy some of that. So today Ed Sheeran said that he wants to be in Game of Thrones. Now, he only wants to be an extra. He doesn't want to be like a massive part because he wouldn't be able to do it because his schedule is so... Is it schedule or schedule? It's so ridiculous. But this time last year, I think they did offer him a place as an extra, but he was too busy touring. But he's got the same time off that they are filming around this year. He's got it off, so he's going to pester them.
So it might happen.
Yeah. And Maisie Williams, who's in it as Arya Stark, related, is really keen because a couple of years ago, when Game of Thrones wasn't kind of as big as it is now, Ed Sheeran tweeted Maisie saying that he was a massive fan of Game of Thrones. Now, if you're in a show that at that time wasn't massive and you're just like a young actress, can you imagine getting a tweet from Ed Sheeran? It would blow your mind. They've been tweeting ever since.
Oh, really? So I saw this video of Ed Sheeran. He was doing some promo work or something like that, but someone gave him a massive sword, which is a replica of this sword from Game of Thrones, and he gets so excited.
Yeah.
Which I find so weird because you think how much money he must have now. He's at that stage where he can get anything, right?
Anything, but it's like Game of Thrones, being in it, if you're a fan, is a money can't buy prize.
Yeah.
Like, someone has to decide... for you to be in it, like the director or the producer, you can't just go, here's £1 million, put me in. You've got to wait to be asked. But I think it's going to happen. But I do quite like that when you're at Ed Sheeran's level, you can just ring him up and go, put me in. And you're probably going to be on, aren't you?
I mean, if I had that power, the stuff I would do.
What would you be in?
What would I be in?
What show? Oh,
that's such a good question. Maybe House of Cards. As an advisor.
As what? Stop the music. As what?
Maybe the new advisor.
To?
The president.
We made this mistake
not
before.
Saying who the president is.
Who's the president?
No, don't try and do this, because otherwise I'll give away spoilers and I'll get so much abuse.
You did it before.
No, I didn't.
You did.
No,
you
said I said something which... I said something which may or may not have been real.
Well, I'd love to see you as an advisor.
Thank you.
Hopefully they're listening.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1. This is Lucy Rose, Our Eyes. Chris from Lincoln, you replied to his tweet last night when he was at the football and it blew his mind.
Oh.
That's the same as Maisie Williams getting a tweet from Ed Sheeran.
It's not quite...
blew his mind Chris replied.
But it's not quite the same on literally any level. Not just for me, but equally, no offence to... Who was it, sorry, from Lincoln?
You've forgotten his name already, have you?
No, but...
That's how much the public means to you.
What I'm saying is he's not Maisie Williams either, is he?
No. True. Chris from Lincoln. And no, you're right, it doesn't. On any level.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, anyone?
Hello.
Hello?
It's Amber calling.
Who? Do we know an Amber?
Amber? I don't know an Amber, do you?
Who are you?
About 2 weeks ago, I went on a first date.
Yes, you're the castle girl.
So many people have been asking where you've got to. But you are a bit of a who, because you haven't got in touch with us till now, so... So how was the date?
It was really, really good. Really, really good. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
So the last we heard from you on the show was I called you up and you called me Daddy. Remember, because that was our code word that we were going to use if he was in the room with you and you couldn't speak because you were in the middle of the date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why were you on this date? This was a first date with someone that you'd met in a cafe, right?
Yeah.
It's all coming back to me now, but it was 2 weeks ago and a lot's happened, Amber.
Slept since then.
So you met this guy, is it twice, in a cafe?
I went in with work once and I sort of saw him. And then I came in again and he was there again. And he sort of gave me my number and said, text me and we'll go on a date.
So you got his number, then you contacted me and you went on a date. And the date was at?
It was at Alverton Castle.
A castle,
but then we sort
of
changed the plan.
And I seem to remember the weather was awful as well, wasn't it?
We got to the castle and it was raining. The weather was absolutely awful. It was freezing as well.
And you were just sat in the car, weren't you?
We got out the car and then I was like, oh no, the weather. Because it was sort of mild and we started walking a little bit and then it turned and I was like, do you want to do something else? Do you want to go and see a film instead or get something to eat? Because the weather was really bad. But then we got back in the car and I remember that I had Radio 1 on still.
Oh.
And then it came on and I had to like really quickly change the channel so he didn't hear.
We were talking about this the whole of the show and getting live updates from you when we could. But he didn't know that you'd been on the radio.
No.
So were we talking about it when you were in the car with him and you had to quickly change the channel?
Yeah, I got back in the car because he turned it on, radio came on, and you're like, oh, the first date, and I was like, really quick.
Put Radio 2 on.
I think it was a classic FM that came on.
Oh, lovely. Literally thousands of people have been asking me, Amber, how did the first date go?
It was excellent. In the end, it was really, really good.
Tell me everything.
We went to the cinema to see The Kingsman.
Yeah.
And that was a really good film. It was excellent. And we went to Nando's because he'd never been to Nando's before.
He may have been lying.
I was thinking at first he was maybe a vegetarian. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no. He can't not like chicken. Because when you go into that restaurant, they always go, have you ever been here before?
Oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, because I've been loads of times. And he was like, no.
And I'm guessing that you went for mild.
Oh, yeah.
So you just sound like that kind of person. I was going for lemon and herb for a while, but I'm saying mild.
I didn't want to eat anything like garlicky or something that would make me like smell after I spent ages smelling really nice.
What did he go for? Was he hot?
No, I think he was slightly above mild, but it wasn't...
He went for a standard medium.
Yeah.
He probably wanted lemon and herb, but wanted to keep face.
I think he probably wanted mango and lime.
And then he paid for the meal.
Oh, that's good of him.
Because I've never had anyone buy me anything, and I didn't really like people buying me stuff. But,
you're cute.
He didn't understand the whole till situation. Because you have to go up to the till and order your food there and pay for it there, rather than coming over to you and ordering it for you.
Okay, so that took a while to explain. And then after the restaurant?
Went to the cinemas and I paid for that because he paid for the meal.
And after the film?
I dropped him off at home, but I completely messed up the whole first kiss situation.
There was a first kiss.
It was all no, but it was there was a first kiss, but it was like a second first kiss.
It was like what?
I messed up the initial first kiss.
How?
Because I've not kissed a lot of people, but I thought it was a really bad kisser. So he went in for a kiss and then I backed away. And it went really awkward. It was like the longest minute of my life. It was awful.
Yeah, generally if they go in, you go in as well. Like don't back away. But you haven't done it much, so you know, it's a bit of practice.
So he lent in for a kiss and you're like, whoa! Ah!
I made it so much. I was like, what are you doing? And then leant backwards and he was like, oh. And then it was like a really long, awkward minute.
A minute?
I sort of said, it was a whole minute. It was just like sat there in silence in the car. Then I said, I feel really awkward. And he was like, he's sort of telling me. And then I explained my whole situation. And he was like, oh, that's really cute. And then he went for another one, and then I kissed him back. And he was like, you're a great kisser, you're fine.
Yes!
Great result.
This is great. So here's my next question. Have you been on a second date?
Yes.
When was that?
It was Saturday, just gone.
Oh, Amber, I really wish you'd give me an update before now. There's so much to say.
We went to, do you know the Butterfly House in Sheffield?
Yeah.
You love a heritage site.
Mm. No, this was his idea, which was quite nice.
If it's a brown sign, she's there.
Yeah, if there's a blue plaque on the door.
It was like a zoo, a falconry range, and then the Butterfly House itself. They had some people bring out like snakes and spiders and stuff, but he hates snakes. So okay. I was up for it. I was like, right at the front, I'm going to touch a snake and then give it a stroke. And he ran a mile.
You touched a snake on the second date?
So who thought of this for a date?
He did.
Right, and he chose the castle date as well?
Yeah. I suppose that means that I've got to pick the third date.
I think you have. The pressure's on. Any ideas?
Oh, God, no. I was thinking Carting Some Waters.
What's that?
I don't actually know where it is. I've been there before. You sort of you go on like bike rides and there's activities in the water. There's like what's it called? It's like canoeing and stuff.
Yes, it's that
paddle boat.
That sounds very you two.
Take him to a model village. I've always wanted to go.
Where's the nearest model village?
There's always signs for it on the motorway.
Yeah, there's a banging one in Beaconsfield if you can get there. I went there not too long ago. In fact, it was an ill judged date. Don't go there. You think it's a good date location and it's just there's loads of kids.
Do you know what? I reckon loads of people, loads of our listeners will now come up with ideas for your third date anyway.
That's a good idea.
And I will pass them on to you, all right? Hey, listen, it's so good to catch up. Please keep in touch more often. I know you've got a really busy job, though, don't you? So, but when you can, keep in touch, because I want to know the story, and so does everyone else.
It's going to go all the way to the wedding, and then beyond.
Yeah!
You said the word.
Oh, no, she's talking about getting married already.
No, I didn't say that. I'm not crazy.
Also, maybe you want to tell this guy at some point that it's been on Radio 1, the whole thing's been played out on here.
I thought I'd tell him after the third date, because that's a safe zone.
That's when I definitely want an update.
Oh, we should get him on and then he could talk to you and tell you his side.
I mean, I think we're jumping the gun a bit here. Let's just tell him softly first.
That's not a bad idea, actually. Perhaps if he is going to find out, he should find out through the show.
Live.
Yeah, just turn it on one day.
Well, actually, that's got me thinking now, Chris. We could call him.
Mm. After the third date.
Yeah.
Let's see how the third date goes. If it's on, we can then all inform him together, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a deal. Right, go on the third date and get back in touch with me, all right?
Okay.
I'm so glad it's going well. Thanks for the update.
That's all right.
Thanks, Amber. Love you, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
On Tuesday, Radio 1 Stories did Speed Date the Election. It was Greg Dawson, Newsbeat's political reporter, with a special programme where 9 young people from around the UK took part in a series of mini one-on-1 election debates. But it was done in a kind of speed dating style. So it was like, talk, next, talk, next, talk, next. And it was a really kind of good way, a quick way of getting your head around the 5 major issues affecting young people ahead of this year's general election. So it was the NHS, immigration, the cost of living, education and voter apathy. There were, of course, clashes of opinion. There was a lot of different wide-ranging political beliefs and a lot of very passionate debate as well. If you missed it, Speed Date the Election is available on the BBC Radio 1 website right now. Have a listen.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good afternoon. This is Scott Mills. Hiya, Dev.
Hiya.
Here I am.
All right, Scott. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Friend request accepted.
Hey. What?
Oh, that was late last night. Okay. Yes, that's
You added
right.
me on Facebook late last night?
I did, yeah.
Why?
Do you know there's this thing on Facebook, the people, they suggest friend requests.
People you may know.
Yeah.
And it's almost never anybody you actually know, is it?
But you can accidentally click, though. I'm not saying this was the
case. Oh,
but
so it was accidental.
No, it's not at all. Actually, no, I did search you out.
Yeah.
Actually, no, you just sort of popped up and I was like, yeah, come on, he's my friend. We should be...
yeah, go on then.
We should be friends.
Add.
Have you been looking around in there yet?
No, but I mean, there was nothing connected with the fact that it was very late last
right.
night. It wasn't that, you know, I'm
protesting it quite a lot,
isn't it? One in the morning.
Oh, right, so it wasn't one of them late night booty call things, like, oh, I just put Dev on to see what he's saying.
Checking out the holiday
late
snaps.
At night. Yeah. So, Dev, you were part of Innuendo Bingo.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah.
Can I hear it? Because I was on the train.
Are you aware of what you said?
When did I say it?
You were talking about... if you wanted to be part of the audience for Feet Up Friday.
All right, this would have been yesterday then.
Have a listen.
If you fancy coming into Radio 1 this Friday and being part of the Feet Up Friday audience, bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. Head over to Greg James's page and hopefully I'll be hanging out with you on Friday. I didn't say that.
You did, it's there.
Anyway.
So, good.
All right.
Well done, everyone.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. Oh, well, yeah, I do know what you mean. Yeah. Getting to know the Radio 1 listeners a bit better.
Of course
there.
We do.
Interestingly, I think it's all lads tomorrow coming
is
in
it?
For your Friday audience.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay, so let's play Real or No Real with... Oh, it's over before it began.
Good night, everyone.
You misfired.
I misfired. It's time for Real or No Real with Dev, who's on your radio at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Is this true?
Last Ketchup have sold more singles worldwide than Girls Aloud.
Last Ketchup, now, they did what song?
Ketchup.
Which we played on our One Hit Wonders day the other day.
Tune.
Last Ketchup. Worldwide, remember they're a Spanish group. They're all sisters, actually. Last Ketchup.
Fun fact.
Did they sell more records worldwide than Girls Aloud?
We've had a few of these facts recently yeah. where it's groups that are ridiculously popular on the continent.
Yeah.
And
big in Japan or something.
Yeah, like you don't understand that they've got massive fan bases.
I bet you're big in Japan, Mills.
I am, actually.
Because there's...
You're big in Holland, aren't you?
Why am I big in Holland?
Is that some... Maybe that was a previous Real or No Real, I'm not sure.
Sorry, I'm enjoying this.
We've lost him. He's gone.
Okay, good. Huh. So, have they sold more than Girls Aloud, please?
I really want this to be real. This is a fun fact. I'm saying real on this one.
I think this is real.
So, Last Ketchup have sold more than Girls Aloud.
I mean, they shouldn't have, but I think they have.
Yeah. That one is no real.
It's too good to be true. Really,
however, that song did sell... over 7 million copies. The girls' first album sold over 12 million
wow.
copies. Their hit did go platinum all over the world, including 6 times platinum in Norway, but they still haven't sold more than Girls Aloud. And next.
When Greg James plays DJ gigs at clubs and student nights, he often insists on being able to control his own smoke machine.
Now, I do know for a fact, Greg James will bring his own mini confetti cannon
Amazing.
Along with him.
Oh, bless him.
I've seen him do that. And what he does, what's brilliant about this, he has one of these things, and it's at the moment he's most excited, he will let the confetti go.
So, and he brings that with him to the gig?
And he brings it, it's a little funnel thing, and then he'll wait for the drop on one of the songs, and he'll be really excited, and then comes the big moment, and bam, his confetti's...
Shoots his confetti.
It's quite Partridge, I like it.
He is very good at a gig, though.
He is good.
He jumps around quite a lot, really gets into it.
Yeah, he loves it. And he plays all his folk music, and they love it.
Yeah,
all
and
that
also,
Mumford and Sons
everyone,
and that.
Everyone needs a gimmick, you know, bringing your own confetti is Greg's gimmick.
Mm. I used to hand out condoms.
Huh?
Yes, you. Mm. In fact, that is your thing. You hand out gifts often, don't you?
I do.
You?
Often
that's pretty good.
T-shirts, sunglasses.
Might get quite expensive though.
I mean, it can do, Dave, yeah. but I like to give back to the students, you know what I mean?
Of course.
So
someone posted a video the other day of Greg James playing the... It was either the Newsbeat music
or the music BBC
of
News.
BBC News, yeah.
So good.
Dropped it in a club. Like
he
it
did,
was.
But also nicked that idea off me. Because I played it at the end... I played the party for the end of Television Centre in London. I dropped that at the end of the set and it went down.
When did you
massively.
Play that?
2 years ago.
I reckon Bill Bailey did it before you then.
Oh.
Okay. Everyone's copying everyone.
Yeah. Does Greg James love a smoke machine?
He did like that, didn't he?
That went down
so
very badly.
Really
that was just so funny.
Just trying to move things along.
Did you see his face change?
I don't like this game anymore.
That went down very badly.
Does Greg James love a smoke machine?
I definitely reckon he insists on this. Yeah. Yes, please be real.
Real.
That one is real.
Yeah.
He is obsessed with pyrotechnics and is also known to take his own confetti cannons along. True fact. What about this?
Twitter's founders were such hipsters that they came up with the idea for the company while playing on the slides at the local kids' playground.
Oh, yeah.
To move forward, we need to go backwards. We need to go back to our youth, yeah.
Hey, guys, should we have an ideas disco?
let's blue sky this one. Let's go to the kids' play area.
It's like my friend who works in advertising, you know him, my old flatmate. Like, it's one of them typical East London offices where all the hipsters are there and they're all, like, driving around on tricycles in the office, do you know what I mean? Trying to think of award-winning advertising ideas.
Throw in the idea ball.
You salad. Do some work.
can we clip that up? That should be your jingle right there. You salads. Do some work.
Were they so hipster, the inventors of Twitter, that they thought it up at a children's playground?
Just going down slides. Whee!
I mean, you can believe it, can't you?
Yes, you really can.
I'm going to go real.
Nah,
on this one.
Sounds silly. No real.
Okay.
That one is real.
Of course they did. They were just playing on the slides at the local kids' playground. Jack Dorsey said he had the idea when he was on the slides.
Amazing.
And finally, on today's Real or No Real.
For her backstage vocal warm-up, Rita Ora sings the fast food song by the Fast Food Rockers.
Now I'm getting that confused between Last Ketchup now.
Yeah, and the two novelty rockers. Songs in one Real or No Real. This one went, a Pizza Hut, a Pizza Hut, Kentucky Fried Chicken in a Pizza Hut. Remember?
McDonald's.
Yeah, well, we've mentioned them all. Yeah. But is that Rita Ora's weird warm-up? Just before the gig? I mean, I've seen her a couple of times at Big Weekend. I don't recall her doing... I mean, I would know. I would identify the fast food song.
Dev
easily.
Does a good warm-up before he starts broadcasting for your show. You do...
Rubber lips, don't I?
Yeah, he'll do that.
I'll cover my face in my T-shirt just so I don't spit everywhere. And do a good...
Every time?
Yeah. Everyone loves it in the studio. Okay. It never gets on their nerves.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I was told at DJ school that's one of the things you don't do.
Do you not? Because before every show, I do, like, I saw a film called The King's Speech. Mm. And what I like to do is exactly the same routine as before they do one of those...
What's his?
So The King's Speech, you put two fingers next to each other like this, and that's the perfect length away from the microphone. Mm. And then I say a load of vowels, and what else do they do on The King's Speech?
Like do a speech.
And then just go into the beautiful BBC voice that they have. And that's worked wonders for me.
Yeah. I heard that Ken Bruce over on Radio 2, he likes to take the pop shield off to get nice and close and intimate to your listeners.
That's just unhygienic.
I might start doing that.
Who's that?
Ready?
Maybe that's one that Dev did on the microphone earlier.
Was you recording that next door?
You guys!
Yeah, trickster. Ready?
I'm going to start doing
that's
that.
One of them. That's it works. So telling you it works.
But does Rita Ora sing the fast food song by the Fast Food Rockers?
She's a little bit left, isn't it? I'm going to say this is real.
No real.
That one is no real.
Oh, no, that one's not real, but
today.
She was caught doing a weird vocal warm-up in the girls' toilets. The toilets again at
telling
Radio 1.
It's the place to record.
Before her live lounge, it wasn't the fast food song. But she did do a warm-up in the toilets. And Chris saw, earlier, saw...
Can I just point of information?
On. Please clear this up, Chris.
I basically said, I saw the wombats in the toilets earlier. And obviously they're in the live lounge. And what happens is they'll do their live lounge, but they want to keep their voice warm for the next performance. And so they go to the the toilets, and I caught the wombats singing in the toilet. So I was saying that should be the new live lounge. Yeah. We should record in there.
Good acoustics.
That's what people were saying. A lot of bands got in touch saying that they do actually rehearse in the loo because of the acoustics. And obviously, on that fact there, Rita Ora does it. So let's just record them in future.
Yes, that's what I was
in the loo lounge. And at the end of that round of Real or No Real...
I got 30, Dev got 10.
Yeah.
Oh, Dev. What's on today, then?
You know, Carey Mulligan, she's in films like The Great Gatsby and Drive. She's going to be on. And we also have a best friend test with Adele, because she's starting a brand new show on Radio 1, and we're well excited about it.
Oh, I'm so pleased for Adele, Robert.
Yeah, she's going to be brilliant.
She's really very good. She's starting on early morning soon.
She's not going to have a life, is all.
No, but don't tell her that.
No.
All right, we've all done it, haven't we?
Yeah.
Those are the best bits of Thursday's show. Tomorrow, we're on for Grimmie in the morning on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Join us from 6:30.
Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.